Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis. And if it's 3 p.m. Central, you're hearing Basic Gospel live, and you can return to the studio right now and speak directly with us at 844-322-2742. If you have a Bible question or some issue you're dealing with and you'd like to discuss it, well, now's the time to call. 844-322-2742, because it's Basic Gospel. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Before we jump into our content for today's broadcast, I wanted to mention our latest YouTube video. We posted that this morning. How do you know that the Holy Spirit lives in you? We've gotten that question quite a number of times over the last several months, and it's a real issue I think a lot of people face. They've come to Christ, they've walked an aisle, they've prayed a prayer, they've done what they thought they were supposed to do, and then they're not sure if God has done what he was supposed to do or has promised to do, and that's to save them, and that's to give them the gift of the Holy Spirit, to send the Spirit into their hearts by which they cry out, Abba, Father. So for all of those that are asking those questions, most of them are looking for answers on the feelings. You know, I just don't feel like he's there, right. Or I haven't had the experiences that other Christians have. I haven't spoken in tongues. I haven't done this. So we take a really detailed look at that question and dive into the Word of God to show you the answer that when you come to Christ, whether you feel it or not, whether you have an experience or not, the truth is the Holy Spirit lives in you. So we encourage you to go and take a look at that on our Basic Gospel YouTube channel. While you're there, if you've never subscribed, go ahead and subscribe. You'll get a new offering every single week. And these are things most Christians wrestle with in some way, shape, or form. So I think you can find just a wealth of information that can encourage you and help you grow in the grace of God. So
yeah, absolutely. How do I know I have the Holy Spirit? I can't say it today. How do I know I have the Holy Spirit? Brand new YouTube video by Bob Christopher, and you'll find it on the YouTube channel for Basic Gospel.
Well, Andrew Farley, welcome to Basic Gospel today. We're awfully glad to have you with us. In regards to that topic, Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 6, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God?" And obviously there's a lot of believers that do not know that their body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within them. It's an important question, isn't it? And if you know that he's there, if you understand that he's there, it will answer a lot of other questions. You know, the Holy Spirit isn't going to live in an unclean vessel. So if he's living in you, that means that you've been cleansed once and for all, that your sins have been forgiven, that you've been made righteous in Christ, have been made alive together with Christ. All that's taken place, and the end result is God prepared a home for the Spirit to come and dwell. That's you and me. That's good news.
Yeah, you know, you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and it says, nobody can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So, you know, our believing is evidence of our receiving. And I think that's important to recognize. As you said earlier, Bob, you know, people are looking for a feeling. Is it a buzzy feeling? Is it a high feeling? Is it an emotion? Is it an experience? You know, how do I know the Holy Spirit lives in me? Well, it's not about what we're feeling. We experience that roller coaster of emotion up and down and all around. But if you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, if you've opened the door of your life, I mean, Acts 16 says, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. 1 John 5 says, I write you these things so that you may know that you have eternal life. So there is a knowing and there's a believing, but certainly we're not running around with great feelings all the time. I mean, we, as well as anybody else out there, we experience those emotional fluctuations, and they're no indication of truth. So, you know, if you are listening right now, and you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died for your sins, that he rose from the dead, that he is who he says he is, and if you have ever looked to him, called upon him, put your faith in him for salvation, well, the rest was up to him. I mean, the rest is all about his promise. He stood at the door and knocked. You opened the door. The rest is up to him. And he said he would come in, and he did. And that is something you can know, not always feel something great about, but know. And that's when we're really putting our confidence in the promise of God and in his truthfulness.
Well, this is Basic Gospel. Andrew Farley joining Bob Christopher and me, and we would love for you to be a part of it. We have calls coming in, but still plenty of room for you at 844-322-2742. If it's 5 past 3 p.m. Central, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and we want to hear from you. 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to our phone lines. We're going to start in Tennessee today with Danny. Hi, Danny. Welcome to Basic Gospel. Yeah.
Yes, sir. I would like to know, we'll talk about to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, and it's not by works that any man should boast, but I'm kind of confused. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling is kind of confusing if we're trying to walk by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, and I was just curious what your take on that might be.
Well, excellent question, yeah. Danny, and we get this a lot, don't we, Andrew?
Yeah, we do, and it's because of that phrase, fear and trembling, we imagine that Paul is inviting us in Philippians chapter 2 to freak out about God, to be scared of God, to wonder every day where we are with him, and that is not at all his intention here. I mean, when he says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, well, that is quickly followed up by, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So, in other words, if the God of the universe has already taken up residence inside of you, how worthy is he of reverence and awe and respect when we wake up every day and go, oh my, wow, this is incredible. The creator of all, the Lord of all, lives inside of me, Christ in me, my hope of glory, Christ in me. I'm one spirit with him. I'm united with him. It's him and me and me and him. And God was willing to do this, to take up residence inside of me, not diminish me, not get rid of me, not eliminate me, but instead cause me to function now the way that every human is designed to function with the life of God inside of them, well then, doesn't it make sense for me to wake up every day and work out, work out in all my attitudes and in all my actions, work out what God has already worked in. In other words, let him be expressed. Now, I've got an old attitude of resentment. I've got an old attitude of unforgiveness and bitterness. Well, I'm going to let that be worked out in my life because now Christ lives in me. I've got an old attitude of selfishness and always thinking about self-preservation and all those things, and that I recognize that as fleshly, and then I say, Lord Jesus Christ, you live in me, and I'm going to let you work this out in my life. So teach me, guide me, mold me, shape me, invest in me. I want the renewing of the mind, and that's what it means for this salvation that's already in you to be worked out. Does that help, brother?
Yes, it does, and I thank you for clarifying that, and I bless blessed by your ministry.
Well thanks for
thank you, Danny. God, we appreciate your call, my friend. Let me put you on hold. I'd love to send you a copy of my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and you'll get more insight into that particular passage and many others to help you really walk the way of grace, that this path that God has set you on the moment you were saved. So you hang on. We'll send it to you.
Yeah, thanks, Danny. Good
to
hear from you.
Thank you.
We would love for all of our listeners to have a copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. If you don't have yours yet, you can obtain yours today by going to our website, basicgospel.net. There's a prominent link right on the homepage at basicgospel.net. A reminder, too, friends, that when you give to support Basic Gospel, you're not just supporting a ministry. You're supporting a multifaceted ministry that in every way proclaims the finality of the cross of Jesus Christ in regard to sin and the reality of his resurrection and his heart's desire to share his resurrection, his life, with you. The hope of this eternal life is what Basic Gospel is here every day to proclaim. And we ask you, our listeners, to join with us to get this message out to as many people as possible by every means available. Join us, friends. Others need to hear the same good news that you hear every day on this program. Please click donate at basicgospel.net and partner with us in this gospel message. Again, donate at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to North Carolina and talk to Andrew. Hi, Andrew.
Yes, good evening. It's good to hear y'all voices again and get an opportunity to talk to you and ask the questions.
Hi, Andrew.
Hey, how y'all? My question is kind of simple. I have a cousin, you know, he listens a lot to this guy named Andrew Womack. And what he does, he believes, you know, like Matthew, I think 11:23, 24, 25, and also Matthew 6:23, like Matthew, Matthew 6:33, I think. About, you know, and then they believe that, you know, you should have healing, and all Christians are able to have healing and, you know, financial well-being. And I also believe that some things that you have to do is you have to go through in order to get them if you have to fast, because they talk about some things that the disciples couldn't do, but then they say by fasting, then you can do those things, and then they have corporate fasts a lot. And, you know, it seems to be working for them. I was wondering if you could kind of elaborate on that a little bit.
Yeah, well, let me say first and foremost, I have seen the results of that sort of teaching, my friend. And Andrew, it can be very misleading. And here's why, because people end up with unrealistic expectations of God. They are told that there is a guaranteed health and a guaranteed wealth. And then they're told that that is for every believer. And then they're told that that is part of the finished work of Christ. And so you take a wonderful, beautiful message and you twist it and distort it and add promises in there that are ultimately unrealistic expectations, and the waters get muddied. People get disillusioned with God. I mean, let's talk about the health issue and healing. I mean, every time that someone was healed in the Bible, it was immediate, it was permanent, and it was without a doubt. Well, and it was also God working through someone with the gift of healing, God healing that person. It wasn't wishful thinking. It wasn't a Christian waking up on Monday saying, I'm already healed. I just don't realize it. I'm already healed. I just didn't know it. I claim it. I name it. I speak it. I gab it. I grab it. It's part of the finished work of Christ. It's finished. I'm already healed. I'm already healed, I tell you. And then 5 minutes later, they still have a chest cold. 5 minutes later, they're still in a hospital bed. 5 minutes later, the magic speak has not worked. And ultimately, that's what all of that amounts to. It is a word of faith movement mixed with some fine-sounding gospel, and then the hodgepodge put together just ends up really deceiving a lot of people. So,
yeah. And Andrew, not to bust in like this, but I'm going to. It becomes a legalistic way of living. So you've done something, and now you're expecting God to do something. I've fasted, I've prayed. Now God, you're obligated to answer. You're obligated to act on my behalf. So it's just a reversal of this life of grace that we have. It's legalism at its core. When we think we can do something, I can't tell you the number of people who have called the broadcast and something adverse has happened in their lives. They've lost a loved one. They've lost a job. And they say, but we fasted and prayed, or we gave our money, or we gave this. And what they're saying is we had expectations that God would respond to us because we had done all of these things. Instead of living by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, they had made these things a law unto themselves. And when God didn't honor the fact that they had lived up to their law, then they got really mad and angry at God.
Yes, yes. And, you know, you look at the healing issue. I mean, Paul wanted healing from some sort of affliction. He had a thorn in the flesh. He asked God three times. Now, this is a guy who had faith in Jesus. This is a guy who wrote more New Testament letters than anybody else. This is a guy who was sold out to the max. And apparently God's answer was, my grace is sufficient for you right now. And yes, you're experiencing weakness, physical weakness, but my power is made perfect in your weakness. So trust in my grace. And that was God's answer. Timothy had frequent stomach ailments. Paul says, take some red wine for your stomach ailments that are frequent, Timothy. He didn't say, have more faith. He didn't say, Tim, come on, Tim, you're already healed. You just don't realize it. Come on, Tim, can't you activate the cross? What's the matter with you, Tim? No, he said, take your meds, essentially. Take something into your body that'll make you feel better. So, you know, miracles are awesome. God can do whatever he wants. We believe that God heals today, but there's a reason they're called miracles, because they're rare. And when we start barking orders at God or trying to put in quarters into the heavenly slot machine and pull down the handle, expecting God to respond when we either pay him enough or perform enough, well, then that is an upside down gospel. It's not the truth that sets us free. And many people end up disappointed.
Yeah. Well, Andrew.
Right. You know, I was just listening to that. But one thing, too, why is that so prevalent? You have so many people that believe in that. And see, my cousin is left. It's working for him. But so many people, and it's so great. And some people are telling me, if it wasn't correct, God wouldn't be blessing these ministries the way he's blessing them.
So. Oh, well, I mean, it makes me sick to hear that kind of thing, because, I mean, why are the most cruel pyramid schemes out there? Why are they prevalent? Why are they doing so well? You know, if you say, why are ministries succeeding off of that? Well, if I promise you fivefold, tenfold back in your pocket, and you're all about the cash, all about the Benjamins, then, of course, you're going to be, you know, trying to complete the formula in order to make it happen for yourself. And then the only person who ends up with a lot of money is the one who is selling that message.
Yeah,
and it's awful.
It's like the most opulent buildings in Las Vegas are casinos for a reason.
Yeah. Yes.
The system is rigged on their behalf, not ours. And the good news is that God has rigged the system for our benefit. This system called the grace of God that is experienced by faith in Jesus Christ. Let's keep it simple.
Yes, indeed.
Well, Andrew, thanks for your
Amen.
Call. We certainly
so
appreciate
much.
It.
Yes, indeed. Yes. Once again, Andrew Farley joining Bob Christopher and me. We're glad that you're here. We have a little time on the clock. If you have a question, give us a call, 844-322-2742. How do I know that I have the Holy Spirit? Well, if you've ever asked that question for yourself, well, you'll appreciate Bob Christopher's brand new YouTube video. You'll find it on the Basic Gospel YouTube channel, and we hope you'll take advantage of that. We had this call that came in, and a question that's very, very interesting, and let's listen.
This is a hard one to put into words. How do we as Christians handle a relationship with a long, long time friend that's a Christian who for sure believes in Christ, believes the Bible, but now in her 60s has become a lesbian, but she believes in the Bible, knows that it's God's word, but says it's been misinterpreted and that homosexuality in God's eyes is really okay. Anyway, if you can answer that, I'd love to hear it on one of your broadcasts. Thank you.
Well, what a question. And I think this type of question is going to become more and more common just as time marches on with the way our society is and the way that we as a country have become more accepting of these sort of things. And we're trying to bend the Bible to match the culture. And that's a real shame. And that's certainly, I think, what your friend is doing there is she has made a declaration about herself, has given herself an identity of lesbian, and she's trying to match or bend the word of God in such a way that it justifies that, you know, that identity. But whenever we try to bend the word of God to match culture, we're in real trouble. We're going to miss out on what God really wants and desires for us, and that's new life. So how do you handle that as a friend? What do you say to that friend? What do you tell her? And that's the real issue, isn't it, Andrew?
Oh, yes. This is not easy. As this sort of belief system becomes more pervasive, there are more and more publications being pushed out with alternative interpretations of Romans 1. I mean, just to put this in perspective, let's look at this. It says, God gave them over in the lusts of their hearts to impurity so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. They exchanged the truth for a lie. It goes on to say, God gave them over to degrading passions. Their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And you say, well, what could you mean there, Paul? What in the world is going on there when they exchanged the natural for something unnatural? Well, it says, men abandoned the natural function of the woman, burned in their desire toward one another, men with men, committing indecent acts, and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. So they did not see fit to acknowledge God. God gave them over to a depraved mind to do things that are not proper. So we can look at that for hours and hours. We could think up alternative, well, maybe this was happening, or maybe that was happening, maybe Paul didn't mean that. But look, at the word level, you're seeing something unnatural occurring. At the phrase level, you're seeing women with women and men with men. And at the paragraph level, you're seeing again and again that something inappropriate, improper, depraved was going on. And it's pretty clear what Paul means there in the first chapter. So I can say that I'm going to honor the word of God and that I'm a Bible-believing Christian, but then I pop over to Romans 1 and opt out. And I just decide for some alternative reading of that, which is nothing more than delusion. So we have to fall at the feet of what God is saying about his design, about his love for us, and that he wants the best for us, that he doesn't want us trapped and mired in a lifestyle of thought and action that is not an expression of Jesus. And so I don't think that there really is another choice other than lovingly approaching this person and sharing your concern. And my guess is that they have already been so indoctrinated another way that they're going to dust their feet and reject your words. But if it's on your heart to reach out to them, you can do so in love, speaking the truth in love. And that, Bob, that's what the scripture tells us to do, because that's what the Holy Spirit in us is always going to do, is approach this thing with grace and love and look for opportunities to invest in someone's lives. It's not about judgment. It's not about pointing fingers. Look, we all struggle and stumble in many ways. But if God puts a loving concern on your heart, I believe we are free to approach that friend and share from the heart. You'll probably end up shedding some tears. You're so concerned about them. And they need to see that it's not coming from a place of anger or judgment, but instead love and concern.
Yeah, and I think one of the key elements of any conversation like that needs to focus on identity. God has already said he's reconciled the world unto himself, and he's not counting men's sins against them. Sin has already been condemned in sinful man through the cross of Jesus Christ. Now we can talk about where real life comes from. And real life doesn't come from gratifying the desires of the flesh. That's not what's going to ultimately make us happy. What's going to make us happy is first understanding our identity in Christ. So that's where a conversation like this can go. How do you see yourselves? Do you see yourself as a lesbian? Is that your identity? Or do you want to be a child of God? And you can't be both. You can't be both. So let's talk about that, and then realizing that true life, real life, life that is going to satisfy at the deepest level of the human heart is sourced in Christ alone.
Yeah.
And I think that's the way you handle these conversations.
Yes, indeed. Well, we appreciate hearing from all of our listeners. And friends, thanks for being with us for this edition of Basic Gospel. If you have questions you'd like us to address and can reach us during the live broadcast, well, leave us a voicemail at 844-322-2742. And once again, thanks to everyone who supports this ministry with your love, your prayers, and your gifts. And in January, when you make your gift, we'd like to say thanks for standing with us by sending you a copy of our latest CD. It's called The Top 10, The 10 Passages That Made All the Difference for Bob Christopher. You can donate now or any time when you visit our website. Of course, that's at basicgospel.net, a prominent link right on the homepage, basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, and with thanks to Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you back again tomorrow as we continue on our Friday series, The Great I Am, on Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.